Having peace and cultivating the peace of the Holy Spirit is fundamental in walking with God. The Lord wants to dwell with you. He wants to dwell in you, and He wants to be at peace dwelling in you. So I believe the physical realities that we see in the Hebrew Bible, in which the Lord is stepping in and doing things, are shadows, beloved, of what is accomplished for us in the Spirit in Messiah Jesus. And so this scripture that we just read, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I believe this is a shadow, beloved, and of you and I, in a parallel of you and I walking arm in arm, in harmony and fellowship with the Lord, and ascending up with Him in the Spirit as we do, even as Enoch, Father, beloved, was taken up and seated with the Father in the heavenly places. You see, the book of Ephesians tells us we've been raised with Messiah and are seated with Him there in the heavenly realm, just like Enoch walked with God and whoop, was taken and was no more. So what we're doing is we're contemplating, how can you and I ascend in the Spirit in our walk with God? I encourage you to get this entire series, beloved. It's one of the fullest series in terms of biblical revelation and Spirit-filled knowledge that I've ever been able to share with people. And I give God all the glory, because it all comes, hallelujah, from Him. To God be the glory, from Him and to Him and through Him, hallelujah, are all things, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' fame. Glory to God. Jesus loves you today. He's got more for us, beloved, than we've believed. Yeshua said, "My joy I give to you." Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed." Jesus, beloved, has an abundant life for us. He said, "I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly." But remember, He also said that life consisteth not in the abundance of things. So that life is not on the outside. True life, beloved, is found on the inside and issues forth from the indwelling Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said those who received would find themselves, when they believe, rivers of living water, John 7, that would flow forth from our innermost being. Love, joy, peace, fullness, power, relationship. As Enoch walked with God, beloved, so you and I are being brought into this tangible reality of experiencing Jesus and walking with God, even as Moses did. And the Lord called Moses a friend to whom he spoke, hallelujah, face to face. I want to pick up today and talk about, what are some action steps that you and I can do? What are some things that we need to think about and develop in order to increase our ability to walk with God, and in so doing, ascend in, hallelujah, His Spirit? Remember, I was sharing on last week's broadcast, the Lord wants to dwell with you. He wants to dwell in you, and He wants to be at peace dwelling in you. And as the Father can be at peace dwelling in you, when that happens, when the Father can dwell in us in peace, then we're going to begin to experience Him in a whole new way. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 23, "When you love me and put me first and make me preeminent," He said, "I'm going to come to you, disclose myself to you, and make my home with you." Jesus says that when we're living in harmony with Him, when we're choosing Him in oneness, when we're saying to Him, "I want to do your will, Jesus. I want to be obedience to you, be in obedience to you. And because I love you so much, because I want you so much, because I crave fellowship with you and intimacy with you and your reality so greatly, I'm willing to obey you whatever it takes, as long as you give me the grace to do it, Lord. I want to do it." Jesus says, when we do that, He's going to release the revelation to us of how much the Father loves us. And He said, "I'm going to make my home with you." In other words, when we think about where home is, we're going to come to an experience in life where we're going to truly feel that our home is Jesus. In other words, some people say, "I can't wait to get home and get in my bed and lay my head upon a pillow." Well, that's great. But wouldn't it be even better if you could always feel like that, because you're at home in Jesus? That Jesus' presence so surrounds you, and you've so come to experience His indwelling reality in you, that you're always in Him, experiencing the reality of being in Him, and being in Him and experiencing that reality, you have a conscious awareness of love, of comfort, and of a sound mind. That's what Jesus wants to do for us. That's what He said He would do for us when we make it all about Him. That's why He said, listen, if you want me, you can have me, but you've got to forsake everything else. You've got to make me first. You've got to make it all about me, because I can't accept the lukewarm. I spit them all out of my mouth because I'm too magnified. I'm too holy. I'm too preeminent to be able to give myself to people that don't really want me. That's why I said, He said, He'll cast the lukewarm out of His mouth, and He won't give what's holy to dogs. And so if you're willing to come to Him on His terms and say, Jesus, the world is not what I want. Because Jesus said, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? If you come to the place and say, Jesus, it doesn't matter what I have to give up. It doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what I have to lose. It doesn't matter what I have to part with. All I want, my Jesus, is you. Then Jesus is saying, you qualify for eternal life. And this is eternal life, He said in John 17:3, that you might know God. And in God's presence, beloved, there are treasures and fullness of joy forevermore. So we're talking about coming into this real living, hallelujah, experience, hallelujah, with Jesus. Well, we need to understand then, as we're developing this, that God wants to be with us in such a way, beloved, that there's not this tension all the time. Remember David? What was David's heart? King David, David Melech, the king of Israel. We sing an old Jewish song, David Melech, Melech Israel. David Melech, Melech Israel. David Melech, Melech Israel. David Melech, yai da 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 da, yai 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 yai. Well, David Melech means King David. And remember what Yeshua said in the last chapter of the book of Revelation? He said, I am the offspring of David. And in the prophets, when it talks about Jesus reigning during the millennial period, Jesus is identified, beloved, as the fulfillment of King David. There'll be one King David, speaking of Yeshua, who will shepherd all my people. Remember David, the king of Israel's heart, though? What did he say? David's heart was he wanted to build God a temple, because the Ark of the Covenant wasn't in a temple. It was being housed in these temporary shelters. The Ark of the Covenant, the most holy object on earth, beloved, there was no dwelling place for it. It was being pitched in, under a tent. It was taking up residence in somebody's house. And King David said, is it right that I should live in this palace and there's no resting place for my God? And so David said, I will not give sleep to my eyes. I will not slumber in my bed until I make a resting place for my God. David's number one passion was to build a temple for the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant could rest. He wanted a resting place for God so that the Ark of the Covenant didn't always have to be moved from here, be under a tent, be temporarily lodged in somebody's house. He wanted to be in a resting place. Well, we know the story. David wasn't able to build the temple because he had been in too many wars, but the Lord said, your son Solomon will build it. And we know that Solomon built the temple, and when it was built, the glory of the Lord so filled it that the priests couldn't stand. It was God ordained and God was pleased with it. A resting place for His presence, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing it. Well, beloved, the reason I share that story is even as David wanted to build a resting place for the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant, you and I, beloved, also should desire to build a resting place for God within us. That we should want to have a heart by saying, Lord, I want you to be at rest in me. I don't want you to be in me always having to strive with me that I want to go this way, but you want to go this way. I don't want there to be any contention anymore. I want to so come under your authority. I want to so die to my flesh. I want to so die to self-initiative and self-will. I want to so die by living by my own natural strengths. I want to so crucify all these things that you can be at rest in me, to be like Jesus that said, I do nothing by my own initiative. Jesus, beloved, was at a place where the Spirit of the Father, the power of God, was at rest in him because Jesus wasn't going his own way. It wasn't like the Lord was always having to pull him back. It wasn't like the Lord was always having to push him forward because Jesus, beloved, had built a resting place inside him for the Father. Jesus said, it's the Father in me and I do nothing by my own initiative. And this is, Father, what we're after. We want to so be crucified in the natural, in the flesh, to our own ambitions, our own desires, our soulish energies, our demonic addictions, all these things that keep us from you. We want to have these things so crucified that your Spirit, Lord, can be at rest in us, living through us, and being who you want to be through us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. And beloved, this is a painful process. It's a painful process to allow the Spirit of God, to allow the Father to crucify the flesh. That's why the Bible says that the Father disciplines every son that he receives. But no discipline, the Scripture says, is pleasant while we're going through it. But the end result is the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In other words, this disciplining process where we're allowing the Lord to tame us. Where if we're always the type of people that are pushing all the time, we're always the type of people that are making things happen, we're the type of people that are always, we're always knocking the door down, driving ahead, but we're realizing, you know what, this isn't God, this is me. This is a soulish energy. This is a fleshly energy. I need to stop. I need to learn how just to wait on God. This is a painful process. But the Lord said, after you've been trained by my discipline, the Lord said, you will then have the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And for those of you that you're always hesitating, you feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something. You feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you to speak up. You feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you to get up. You feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you to stand up. You're always holding back. You have a timid spirit. And the Lord's saying, I haven't given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love and of power and a sound mind. When you allow the Holy Spirit to discipline you and train you, and you begin to respond to Him and move with Him when He's moving, you also will be led, indeed, beloved one, into the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So God wants to bring us to a place, beloved, where we're enveloped in His peace because He is in us, being who He is through us. And this is, beloved, the purpose of God's creation, creating us. He wants Jesus, beloved, to be manifest through us. We're the body, hallelujah, of Jesus, so that His Spirit, beloved, can have free reign, hallelujah, through our lives. And when that happens, when there's that harmony going on, that we're being led by Him, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, when we've been trained by righteousness, beloved, then we'll be like Enoch, walking arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, locked with God, and will ascend, beloved, in the Spirit, just as Enoch ascended into God and was no more, and we will, beloved, enjoy His bliss and His presence forevermore. As we're continuing now talking about walking with God, as Enoch did, I want to talk about the subject of peace. Because having peace and seeking peace and cultivating the peace of the Holy Spirit is fundamental in walking with God. Remember, when Yeshua spoke about the Holy Spirit, He said, "My peace I give to you." He was speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as He was speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, He said in the same breath, "My peace I give to you." And remember in the Gospel of John, after Yeshua had been crucified and the disciples in fear fell away, remember they thought, wow, the one that we believe was the Messiah, the one that we left everything for, the one who we gave our identity over, we thought He was the Messiah. And what happened? They crucified Him and He's gone. And they were terrified. They felt like the world had been pulled out from underneath their feet. Their entire foundation had collapsed. They had lost their identity. They had lost their purpose. And no wonder we find them in the Gospel of John hiding in a room. And as they're hiding in the room, Yeshua had been crucified. He had not yet ascended to the Father. He enters in through the room where they're hiding in fear and anxiety and insecurity. And suddenly the Scripture says Yeshua enters the room. He comes right through the wall and manifests Himself to them. And He says, "Don't be afraid." And then He says to them, "Receive the Ruach HaKodesh. Receive the Holy Spirit." And then He breathes on them. And He says, shalom, my peace I give to you. So as soon as the Holy Spirit enters the room with Jesus and breathes on the disciples, he follows up with the word, my peace, my shalom I give to you. So walking with God involves being harnessed by the reality of the peace of the Ruach HaKodesh, of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to walk with God, beloved, if we're going to walk in authority, we're going to need to walk with peace and in peace, because peace precedes authority. There is no authority without peace. You know, before the throne of the Lord, we read in the book of Revelation, we find before the throne of the Lord, there is a sea of glass. Why is there a sea of glass before the throne of the Lord? Think about a sea of glass. What's a sea of glass like? A sea of glass, there's no ripples on it, right? It's calm. A sea of glass is perfectly calm. No ripples on it. Flat as flat can be. Why is there a sea of glass before the throne of God? What does it symbolically represent? It represents, beloved, the stillness of God's peace. No ripples, no waves, no turmoil, no fear. Just flat, still as glass. That's how the peace of God is. So if you and I are going to learn to walk with God, we're going to have to cultivate peace in our life, the peace that the Holy Spirit gives. Jesus said again, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will send you the Holy Spirit. My peace I give to you. Remember when the disciples were on the boat and the waves came and the winds came, Yeshua woke up and he said, well, you have little faith. And he breathed on the sea and he spoke to it and he said, peace, be still. So this involves becoming aware of ourselves and self-aware so that when we feel ourselves moving in to unpeace, we pull ourselves back and we harness that nervous energy. We say, I feel myself being pulled into nervousness. I feel myself being pushed by fear. And we pull ourselves back by the indwelling Holy Spirit and say, I will stay in peace. I will abide in peace. One of the names of the Lord is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. God is peace. The Bible says in the book of Romans that the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. Hallelujah. I take authority right now, Father, over Satan and his activity in the lives of those that are watching. And I crush you, Satan, and every demon that's causing turmoil in the lives of God's elect. And I render you to be still in Jesus' name. Peace, even as a river. So, Father God, we ask you to develop peace in us. Strengthen us, I pray, Father God, to abide in your peace. Strengthen us, Spirit of God, Spirit of Elohim, to abide in peace. And I pray, Father, for these that are watching right now, that you'll help them become aware of their energy, that you'll help them become aware of themselves, that you'll help them become aware of their body. That they'll be able, Father God, when they sense themselves being moved into dissettlement and into anxiety, Father, that they'll be able to recognize it and immediately begin to pull themselves back to abide, hallelujah, Jesus, in your shalom. So walking with God involves, beloved, being self-aware so that we can feel when we're moving in to being dissettled. You see, what fear would do, it would push us out of being settled. When people get afraid, they're pushed out of peace. So a lot of times when people get afraid, you can see it even in their body movements. A lot of times when people are afraid, they won't be able to stand still. They'll begin to look around. They'll begin to give a nervous laugh. No, when you feel that happening to yourself, reject it and say, I refuse to be pushed by fear. I refuse to be pushed by anxiety. I refuse, Jesus, to be pushed out of my place in you. I will abide by your authority, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, in your peace. And how do we become aware of this? And how do we come to the place where we can bring ourselves into peace and abiding in peace? We oftentimes, beloved, do it through practicing what I call in Hebrew, lispag, which is the Hebrew word meaning soak up. It just means to sit before the Lord. You see, David said that he had stilled his soul like a child at rest, leaning on his mother. Developing peace with God and developing a clear mind, beloved, takes the cultivation of just soaking in God's presence. It means that we're going to need to be still before the Lord. The Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. And through practicing this discipline of just being still before God, just waiting on God, just soaking in the Holy Spirit, beloved, we begin by osmosis to absorb the presence of the Prince of Peace. Just by sitting before Jesus, just like I described in my dream on last week's broadcast, just by sitting before Him and saying, Lord, I want You. I want to receive You. Saturate me, Father. I want to just soak in Your Spirit, in Your peace. We begin, Lord, we begin, beloved, to absorb the Lord's peace, His power, His presence, His strength into our lives. And so we've talked about a number of things over the last several weeks in terms of walking with God. We've talked about conviction and how conviction is actually a gift of God because it gives us the ability to say yes to the Lord. That's wrong, Father. I want to repent of that. I want You to cleanse me of it so that I can be closer to You, so that nothing will be able to be separating me from You. We've talked, beloved, about learning how to be still before the Lord, to sit before Him so we can get a greater grip of the fact that His Spirit is inside us. We've talked today about peace and how we need to keep ourselves in peace and in God's authority by pulling ourselves back from anxiety and from insecurity and fear when we feel the devil pushing us into these areas and saying, no, I refuse. I pull myself back to abide in You, Lord Jesus. And we talked about that we can gain a greater ability to do this by spending time simply sitting in God's presence, just relaxing before Him like David leaned his soul against his mother and became at rest and secure in that relationship. So, Father, I pray that You'll bless these beloved right now that are hungry for You, that are hungry for truth, and that You'll lead us, Father God, into intimacy and fullness in the Holy Spirit. Father, we love You and thank You for Your joy in Jesus' name.
I'm going to ask you a question. How old do you think I am? I'm just going to give you a second. Pick a number, whatever number comes to your brain. Well, I'm going to be 63 in a few days. So sometimes people think I look a little bit younger, but I've actually been around for a minute. And I've seen a big shift in the way that people are relating to the good news of the kingdom of God. You see, when I came to the Lord back in 1978 at 20 years old, the common way to absorb Christian teaching and content was you went to a physical building, you went to a church, and part of the church service was the congregants presented their tithes and offerings to the Lord to honor Him and to place themselves in a position of faith so they could receive. But today, the culture has shifted a lot. And so many people today are no longer attending churches. Instead, they're absorbing their content online. It's great to receive content online, but what sometimes is lacking is that those of us that are receiving content online, we're not responding by honoring the Lord with our finances. You see, when we honor the Lord with our finances, two things happen. Number one, we honor Him as God in our life. Because from the earliest portion of Scripture, the Lord told His people, honor Me with the first fruit of your wealth. It sounds like this guy's just some guy after. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. The second thing that we do when we honor the Lord with our finances is we open our heart to receive Him, because to honor the Lord with our finances takes faith, and God moves through faith. Beloved, the Lord says, don't forsake the ancient path. Return to the good way and walk on it. If we really want to love God and honor Him, we need to honor Him with our finances as well. If the Lord is using this ministry, these YouTube videos, to feed you, I want to encourage you to honor Him through this ministry. You can simply click on the description link attached to this video or go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. God bless you and thank you.